First, I just want to share a quick disclaimer, a note of care. Healing stories and scriptures always can feel a little loaded. So if these stories today make you feel bad because you have prayed and asked for healing and haven't received what you needed, you are in good company. Being sick is not a sign of a lack of faith. God does not work that way. There is just mystery and pain and brokenness and suffering in our world and lives that just is not explainable. And that is frustrating. And you can talk to God about that. Believe me, I do. If these stories cause you pain, know you can always come and talk to me too. For we are here to wrestle with these things together. All right, onward. So this gospel reading, is it today a basic healing story? It's my first question. Jesus is on the road, he's in this in-between place, and he gets interrupted by this group of folks with a skin disease who cry out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus notices them and says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And all 10 turn to leave. One notices they are healed, and they turn around, and they praise God, shouting thanks, kneeling at Jesus' feet. And then Jesus points out, "Weren't there 10 of you? Where did everyone else go?" Okay, maybe this isn't a basic healing story. Healing doesn't seem to be the main event here. Jesus doesn't even touch the other 10. There are no details involving prayer or hand laying or mud or spit. Okay, so if it's not about healing, is this a lesson on morality? Like what we learned in preschool, you should say thank you. It reminds me a little bit of my childhood when my parents would tell me I should eat all of my peas because there are children starving in Africa. Or when they would make me sit down and write thank you notes to every relative after a birthday or Christmas. Jesus' accusation reminds me of those plaques you can buy at kitschy gift shops in the Midwest. Life could be worse. Just have an attitude of gratitude. I am too blessed to be stressed. I don't know. Forcing gratitude doesn't seem to mesh well with an all-loving God. What does this say when we are truly having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day? What does this say to people in the midst of utter tragedy? Those struggling with depression? Our friends and neighbors who are currently working or on forced vacation right now? Those with cancer or chronic pain? Sometimes it's really impossible to respond with a cheerful heart. I think this story asks us to go a little deeper than just healing or a thank you note, though those things are important. First, we need to remember that we don't actually know what happens to those other 9 people. Maybe they actually did what Jesus asked them to do, and they're at the synagogue talking to the priests. That was the normal Jewish thing to do, the normal Jewish response after being healed. This would be step 1 in order to be welcomed back into the community. You take the mikveh bath, you talk to the priests. Maybe they didn't listen to Jesus. Maybe they didn't listen to his instructions, but they ran back to the village to share the good news with their friends and family and neighbors. We don't know what happened. But no matter where they went, being grateful was not the prerequisite for being healed. Jesus does not wait for the sick to kneel at his feet, recite the 10 commandments, give money to the local food shelf, prove they will be a good person from here on out, or even ask for forgiveness. Healing just happens. And this goes for all of us. We all receive the love of God whether we ask for it or not. It's not fair, but it's the truth. Ready or not, here God comes with love and forgiveness and presence always. This is the persistent, unconditional, merciful, and steadfast Creator we have all the time. I do think Luke wants us to consider this 10th person. At the end of this story, Jesus says to this Samaritan, now remember, Samaritans were outsiders, the enemies of the Jewish folks. These two clans did not get along and would normally not talk to each other if they could help it. Jesus tells this outsider, your faith has made you well. The Greek word here, sozogen, comes from the root sozo, which can be translated in a lot of ways, healed, made well, saved, or even whole. Your faith has made you whole. There's something more at stake here than a physical healing. Now, some of you may have heard me talk this summer about this practice that I've taken on through Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way. And I do this journaling, morning pages. I've never been a journaler. I cannot tell you how many journals I've started and not finished. But perhaps because of the accountability of doing this with other people, this time it has stuck. And the central idea here is that we just take a little time to take notice. Take notice of our actual lives. And through doing this, our central nervous system becomes less anxious. We can let go of those ideas spinning around in our heads that won't leave us alone. We begin to be able to be more present to what is actually happening. And our heart rate slows down, and we're able to breathe a little deeper simply by just taking notice. This week, I came across an article from Ash Parsons' story where she shared that she's always found journaling helpful, but when her youngest son was in the NICU for 6 weeks, she didn't have a hand to write. And so she pared this practice down to 10 images, one for every finger on her hands. And she writes, I think of 10 moments, 10 mental pictures, scenes, objects that pop up when I recall the last 24 hours, and then eventually I write them down. They range from the mundane to the exceptional. It doesn't matter. The value doesn't lie in the image, but my attention to it. Sometimes one of those images jumps out at me and says, let's go somewhere together, and I find myself writing in a chapter, an entire chapter or essay. But most of the time when I look at my list, I exhale with a great sense of accomplishment. I have lived another day. I've seen what I've seen, and I've given my life a voice by writing it down. Now, I wonder in these strange and stressful days that we find ourselves in, perhaps we too are invited, like this 10th person, to take a breath and to notice, to name what we are experiencing. Whether that is love or grace or kindness, or perhaps also it's sorrow, lament, and sadness. Maybe it's all those things wrapped up in one. You can light a candle and you can write it down, or perhaps simply just sit and use your hands instead of doom scrolling. Take a little time to notice and let yourself say amen at the end. Friday, this practice hit me in a profound way. I got my flu and COVID shots. 9:45 at the CVS right here on Glebe. Normal thing to do, right? Something we do now every year. And yet, as the pharmacist said the word Pfizer, it triggered this really deep memory for me. of the pandemic, of sheltering in place with a toddler in tow, the isolation, and the freedom that came when we finally got the vaccine. Not actually for me. I got the Johnson & Johnson right before they pulled it off the market. You remember that? Like, spring 2021. Now I'm actually talking about when Theo got his first vaccine. It was September 2022, 18 months after Mike and I had gotten ours. I can still picture the fluorescent lights and the smell of the Giant Eagle grocery store, the buzz, the pumpkins. We actually didn't have insurance for Theo at the time, because Mike had just switched jobs, and he had started his new one, but we were in that 30-day, you know, trial period. And so thanks to Minnesota Medicaid, we were there. Theo got his shot and a lollipop. And in that moment, our whole world opened up. The gift of immunity and the release from this fear and anxiety that we had been sitting with for 2 years. And as I got my first Pfizer shot on Friday, I thought about how bittersweet all of this is now. To get this vaccine on a Friday in the midst of a world that has shifted and changed so hard and so fast. It's difficult to keep up, as our government is currently shut down because they can't decide if they're in this battle to make cuts to Medicaid. As we're in the battles with vaccines and all these other things, it just all hit me in such a profound way, sitting in that plastic chair at the CVS on Glebe. These moments happen to us every day, dear ones. They're a challenge, and they're also a gift. They're ours to receive and to pay attention to take stock of what God has lovingly placed into our hands, the good and the bad and the in-between, to do our reverent best in these moments, put one foot in front of the other, and to say amen. Now for this 10th person, they not only saw themselves healed of skin sores, but they saw a chance for a new way of life, a sense of belonging and purpose and dignity that they had never experienced before. And they could not help but react with this loud, physical, incredible gratefulness and wonder. Martin Luther loved this story. He was known for calling Sunday morning the 10th leper turning back. Here in this place, together, we gather. We cry out to God honestly for all the things in the world that we don't understand, that seem unfixable. And here in this place, we receive God's mercy through the word and song, through water and bread and wine. Here we offer our thanks and praise. And from this place, we turn around and go as loved and forgiven people, transformed for another week to help others pay attention and notice where they are loved and forgiven too. For dear ones, our lives indeed are challenging and complicated, holy and sacred, and a little frustrating. But no one gets to take that away from us. And for all of this, we too can say, thanks be to God, and amen.